Today's daf is Chulin daf Chet. Moving on to a totally different issue. Amar Rabbi Zera. Now we're finally getting into a bit of kashrut related issues. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Shmua. Liben sakin v'shachatba. If you took a sakin and libun, like we know from Pesach, you heat up the knife. The knife is very hot here. We're not heating it up for kashrut purposes. Just you happen to have heated up the knife and you shech the animal. Shchitatok sherana. Why would it be an issue? Because the concern is, here they're going to say, chiduda kodem lelibuna. The sharpness of the knife hits before the heat of the knife hits. Now, if the heat of the knife hits the animal, what will happen? You'll burn the animal. Well, not a mum. He'll be a trefa. Right? You're still in zvachim, right, in terms of mum. We don't care about a mum but it'll make it a trefa where the animal's going to die. If the animal's going to die, it has a certain problem. It's called a trefa. And if you shecht it even, it doesn't help because once it's a trefa, right, we generally call non-kosher meat treif. But really, non-kosher meat is usually nevela, which means it died in some way other than shchita. But here the concern is that you'll burn it. So now they say, but what happens? The sharpness of the knife hits before the heat hits it. In other words, it's going to get first, the main thing that's going to get to it is the sharpness of the knife, which cuts it first. Then the heat will get in. Okay, we'll see why this is. The assumption is that the point or the edge of the knife that goes into the throat, it's so thin that it doesn't carry that much heat that it's going to actually burn the animal. But then they say, "Bahayikat stadim." But think about it. When you put the knife in, it's true the edge is very narrow, is very thin, and it doesn't have that much heat. But the sides of the knife, imagine you have a big butcher knife, okay? That, there's a lot of heat on the sides there. So when that goes in, it's true the point goes in, but with the point goes the whole base of the, or I don't know what you call it, they call it the sides of the knife, but not the blade, but the other part of the knife. So that is going to hit the animal at the same time, basically, and that could cause the animal to become a trefa. So what do they say? The Gemara obviously didn't know exactly how shchita works. Beit ha-shchita mirvach ravach. When you shech the animal, what happens? As soon as you start cutting it, I was thinking when you cut pieces of the chicken, you know, and if you cut the right spot, what happens? It sort of splits in half, right? It's more like it's got a, like the sinews or I don't know what they are. And when you cut them, it kind of splits into two so that the sides of the knife never actually touch the animal because as soon as the knife gets in there, the blade of the knife, it splits into half, which means the sides of the knife never actually really touch the animal and that's why we're not concerned. Okay, putting that issue right now aside, we're going to come back to that comment of Rabbi Zera toward the end of this Amud. First, we're going to get into a whole other thing, which is about nigeitzara'at, okay, leprous marks. There's different kinds of leprous marks mentioned in the Torah, and there's different laws for them, okay? There's what we call a mitzora muzgar, where you have some sort of a nega, and then we don't know yet whether it's tzara'at, right? The Kohen is the one who decides. They usually put you away for 7 days, right? It's called a mitzora muzgar. Then after 7 days, they check. And if, for example, depending on what it is, if there's a white hair, if it spreads, then you're going to be a tzara'at. If it's not clear after 7 days, so depending on what type of nega it is, sometimes they make you wait another 7 days to check, okay? The ones we're going to discuss now are called shchin and michva. There are two different types. The halachot are the same for them, but the Torah mentions them in different psukim. It doesn't say, if you have this and if you have that, this is the halacha. Even though the laws are the same, they're mentioned in two separate psukim in the Torah. So now they want to determine, okay, and the laws are going to be the same, which are different from other types of nigaim, which we'll see. Okay, we're going to have a slew of braitot that are each going to develop things about this michveh and shchin that are important to know to ultimately get back to where we started, okay, where they're going to bring in Rabbi Zera. They're going to start with a question. Then they're going to bring the statement of Rabbi Zera about what we just learned, which seems to be something different, to try to give us an answer to that question. In the end, I'll just kind of tell you, they're not going to be able to answer it from there. But that's why we're here, okay, if you're wondering why we're starting with this. Ibayelahu. So here's the question. Liben shipud, you can see why this is a little similar. You heat up a shapud, okay, a skewer. Vihi kabo. And then you hit the person with the shipud. Mishum shchin nidon, or mishum michve nidon. So you have a hot shipud. Now, what we're going to learn is, okay, shchin is a boil, a leprous boil, that you get usually from a wound. Wounds, as we know, get hot from infection or things like that. And if a leprous thing develops, okay, they describe it in the sources as it's like a skin, like you have a garlic peel, like this scab forms, and it's sort of like a garlic peel, like a kind of scab like that. And then again, you leave it for 7 days. You see if a white hair appears or if it spreads. Okay, so then that's going to be shechin. Michveh is if you burn it with something. So here you have both a burn and a wound. So the question is, do we judge it and say it's a shechin, or do we judge it and say it's a michveh? Now you might say, l'may nafka mina. What's the relevance l'halacha? Because l'chidetanya, shechin u'michveh mitam'im b'shavua echad b'shnei simanim b'sarah levanu b'pisyon. So meaning, right? Okay, before we even get to the continuation, I just want to point out why they're asking this question. Because in theory, the laws are the same for both, okay? Because both of them need only 1 week of muzgar. You don't have 2 weeks. If after the first week you don't have simanim, then it's not sarad. And number two, right, there you need one of these two simanim, either a sarah lavan, a white hair grows, or pisyon, it spreads, okay? So now they're going to say, the Braita continues though, and now they're going to say, what is the nafka mina? Okay, lama chilkana katuv. Why did the pasuk separate them and mention them in two different verses? Lomar she'ein mitstarfim zeim ze. Okay, to say that what? If you have, okay, the shear of a nega tzarat is a grease. Okay, the, what do you, a pea? Forget. Okay, we'll see it inside. You'll tell me how they translate it. I forget what a grease is. Right? I think it's a... I don't know, we'll see. Okay? Anyway, we'll get there in a minute. But they say if you have a half a grease and a half a grease, right? A half a grease of a shechin, a half a grease of a michved, they're not going to combine. You won't have tzarat because you need a specific shiur. So now we'll see. Utanya. Ezu shechin ve'ezu michved. So how do you know to distinguish between them? Because both really come from heat, right? The heat of a wound or the heat of a heat injury, right? A heat-related injury. Laka be'etz be'evin. If you got wounded with, okay, this is, now we're going to see what shechin is. You had a wound from a piece of wood or a rock or gefet, which is the remains of the zeitim, the psolet, which they used, we learned this in Shabbat actually a long time ago, they used them for burning purposes, like a coal, you know, they would use the gefet in the oven to warm things up. It had like its own inherent heat, and also I think it heats up, like it retains heat when you heat it up. Bechamei tveria, here they just mean though the heat created from the psolet itself. Bechamei tveria, which we know, right, the hot springs of tveria. Ubechol davar shelo ba machmata or, okay, and anything else that doesn't come from a heat source, like a, you know, a fire. Latuye, what else could be? To, right, why does it say b'chol davar, anything else? What is it trying to include? Avar me'ikaro. If you take lead straight out from the ground, it's still got its own inherent heat there. Also that. Zeu shechin. That's all going to be called shechin. Ve'ezu michveh. What's going to be called michveh? Nichva begachelet. Okay, with a coal. That's heat. That's a real, you know, fire-related heat source. Beremet. That's the ashes at the bottom that are still hot from the coals. Besid roteach, okay, boiling limes, right, plaster. Gafsit roteach, that's another type of seed that's boiled. Ubechol davar haba machmat haor, anything that comes from a fire. La tuye chame haor, even something that was heated up by a fire, right? As long as it was heated up by some sort of flame, then even though that item is in fire itself, or a gachelet itself, right, a coal, anything like that is going to be, and then you get burned by it, that's going to be michveh. Zeu michveh. Vitanya, okay, another braita. Shechin u'michveh. Now, if you have a shechin and you have a michveh, let's say you end up with one on top of the other, okay? Where you get your tzarat comes from both, really. So how do we determine what it's called? Im shechin kodem le'michveh. If first you got it because you got this boil because of the shechin, then, right, and then you ended up with a wound, Batel michve et hashchin. Whatever comes last is what determines what it is. Okay, so if first you had a wound, and it, you know, out of heat, you got this leprous boil on it, but then you got hit in the same place, you got burnt in that same place. From that burn, grew also leprosy, so we're going to count it as a leprous burn and not as a leprous boil. The imichve kodemet l'shchin. It's confusing because boil is not from boil, right? Boil like a shchin boil, not heat boil. The imichve kodemet l'shchin. If first you had the michve and then the shchin, batel shchin et hamichve. Okay, so now this is all to get us back to our original question. What's our question? When we wanted to say libein shipud v'hi kabo mishum shchin nidon and mishum michve nidon, what are we going to say here? Kigon dahave bechatzi gris shchin meikara. First, you had a half a grease of a shchin. So, what does it say here in a half a grease?
It says half a grease.
Oh, really?
In English.
Oh, so, okay. Sorry. In the Koran, they gave a different. I think they said it was a P, but I forget. Okay. Some small shiur. So, you had a half a grease of shchin to begin with. Then, what happened? Liben shipud vihikabo. Then, someone heated up the shipud and hit you with it, or you hit yourself, you know, somehow you got hit with it. V'nafak ba chatzi gris acher. And now there's a new grease created. So you started off with half a grease of shchin, and now you add to that this new makah. So now, my, do we say chavata kadim? You can maybe now see how this is going to connect with our original source. Do we say he got hit first, and then va'ate havla, then came the heat of avata leila chavata? The heat came. And then, remember, we just said a minute ago, whatever comes last is what's koveah. So here we have one act that had two things happening in it. So which happened first? Again, right? Do we say first you had the hit and then came the heat and canceled out the wound, which means we're going to judge it. We're going to have his original shchin, and then the shipud caused a michveh because it caused, right? You have like this. You have shchin first, and then your second wound was shchin and then michveh. So the michveh cancels out the second shchin. So you have a half a grease of shchin and a half a grease of michveh. And then it wouldn't be anything. Or, Dilma, this was the whole question, havla kadim. First we say the heat hit it first and burnt it. Va'ate chavtu mavatale lahavla. Okay, and then comes the shchin and cancels out the michveh. Because then we view the shchin as being last. So then we'd have a full grease because you had your original wound, which was shchin. The shipud came and caused a shchin type boil. So now you're going to end up with shchin all the way, which means you're going to have a problem. So now, how are they going to learn this? Tashma, let's take what Rabbi Zeira said in the beginning of the daf. Da'amar Rabbi Zeira Amar Shmuel, libein sakim v'shachapa shchitato k'shera, because chiduda kodem l'libuna. We say first the sharpness hits it, then the heat. So here we'd also say, first the wound hits it. It's like hikabo first. Then the heat comes. Okay? Which means it wouldn't be a problem because we treat it as a michveh. But they say, right, alma chavta kadim. We're going to say the wound is what hit first. So they say, no, you can't learn it from the knife case. I told you we were going to reject this. Why? Chidud shane. There you have the sharp point of the knife. That's obviously going to hit you first. But in the shipud, now even though shipud, usually you think of a skewer as something sharp, the assumption here is that you got hit with the shipud somehow, not with the point of it. It wasn't like you were stabbed with it. You were hit with it, in which case we're going to say there it's different from the sharpness of the knife. There, maybe you would say that the heat of it hits before the wound. So you can't really determine it from here. So they say, Tashma, why don't we learn it from a different braita? And now we're again off our topic because we started with Rabbi Zeira. Now we're going to, that didn't work. Libein shipud bihikabo. Now we're going to have a case actually from Mitzora where it sounds like our exact case. If you heated up a shipud and then you hit someone with it, nidom mishum michvat esh. We treat it as michvat esh. Alma chav takadim. Here we're going to prove what we tried to prove a minute ago, the same argument, but here we have a better proof. We're going to say it must be you hit it first, and then the fire hits it. Now remember, with our case, when we tried to say our case, we wanted to know what hits it first. Here you want to know what hits it first to know what's koveil, which is what hits it last. What's last? The michvat esh then. Only the heat comes later, in which case we're going to say that, here you see, that chav takadim, we're going to treat it as if when you get hit by this hot thing, first you get hit, then the heat comes and affects it. So again, they say, no, you can't necessarily learn from it, even though it sounds exactly the same as our question. You could claim that these are two different cases. Hatamnami debarze mivras, dehainu chidud. You could say that the Braita that was talking about it was talking about when you got pierced with the shipud, with the point of it. Even though the wording is the same as the question was, but who's to say that that Braita wasn't talking about being stabbed with it? And if you're stabbed with it, well, then that's exactly the same as the knife, where certainly the point hit you before the heat hit you. Okay? Whereas it could be if you were hit by it, I assume they mean sort of like on its side. Okay, again, I'm thinking, you know, when you think of skewer here, you think of those little thin wooden ones, but I'm assuming they're talking about some metal, you know, which is a much, first of all, the metal obviously retains the heat, and it's usually a little thicker, and it's got more to it, and you could see someone could, you know, you think of those metal skewers you buy for your barbecue or something, you know, those are pretty, someone hit you with it, but, you know, you could get hit by that and hurt by it. Okay, so, in the end, we have no answer to this question, and we got totally sidetracked from our main topic. Okay, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bravua. Sakin shel avodat kochavim mutar lishchot ba v'asur lachtoch ba. Basar. Okay, so now what happens? You take this knife that someone used for Avodah Zarah worship. Now, what do we learn going back to Masechet Avodah Zarah? Anything used for Avodah Zarah purposes is forbidden to get benefit from. So now you take this knife, you can use it to shecht an animal, but you can't use it to cut up the meat once it's shechted. Now, what's the difference? This is all a matter of how you determine benefiting from something. So, mutar lishchot ba mikal kelhu. If you shecht an animal, you're actually destroying the animal. It's not just because you're destroying the animal itself, but you're destroying it for your purposes because an animal is very useful when it's alive. You can use it for work. You can use it for all sorts of things. If you remember, we learned a long time ago, and I think it was Bava Batra, but certainly the Bavas, maybe Bava Metzia, that there was a difference between selling an animal for shechita purposes and selling it for work purposes. It was always worth more money when you sold it for work purposes. So if you sell it, if you shecht it, you're actually ruining the animal because now you can't use it for anything else. So you're devaluing it. Okay. So therefore, that's not called hana'ah, even though you are actually benefiting because you have the animal to eat, but it was more useful to you when it was alive. Therefore, you're allowed to do this. Basur lachtoch ba'basar, because metakenhu. Cutting the meat, you're actually making it easier to eat. And so you're making it better. So right before you cut it, you can't eat it. The assumption, right? You can't stick the whole thing in your mouth. So therefore, cutting it, you're not allowed to do with this knife. Amar Rava, so Rava now points out, if the whole thing is based on makakel and metaken, pa'amim shashochet asur, and he's going to say, in pa'amim shamachatech mutar, he's going to say, sometimes it flips. In which case, b'misukenet, if the animal is endangered, and it might die, now you have to, it can't be a treifa, it would have to be where it has something that doesn't consider it a treifa, but there's danger it's going to die, so therefore, you're shechting it is actually saving the animal because otherwise you might lose the animal entirely. You won't ever be able to shecht it. And the animal is worth a lot when it can work and, right, and it can stay alive to work. And then eventually you're going to shecht it. So if you lose your chance to shecht it, you lose your window, then it's going to be devalued. So therefore it will be helping you. U'mechatech mutar ba'at medekayim el korbana. If you want to give this piece of the animal for a gift to someone, not a korban as a sacrifice, but as a gift to someone, you want to give someone a gift. You're not going to bring them cut up meat. You want to bring them a whole slab of meat. If you cut it up, it's actually going to ruin it because then you can't use it as a gift. Okay. That's just a side point saying, what he's trying to say is, don't take this halacha across the board. It really depends on whether it's really mitakein or really mekalkel. Now they say, but wait a minute. You're missing some major problem here. If somebody used this knife to shecht an animal for Avodah Zarah purposes, tepuklei mishum shamnu niti isura. They used it to shecht a non-kosher animal, basically. They didn't do a real shechita. It's an avela, that animal. So if that's the case, doesn't it have fat of an avela, which would mean that you can't possibly use this to shecht your animal?
Meaning if the fat touched the knife?
If the fat was in the knife, then you can't reuse the knife. So what are the answer? Bechadasha. You could say it was a brand new knife that they never used for Avodah Zarah purposes. Well, if they never used it for Avodah Zarah purposes, then what would be the issue? Well, the issue would be that we learned this in Avodah Zarah. If you intend to use something for Avodah Zarah, you've separated it, you've set it aside, then it's already asur b'hana'ah, although we're going to see, depending on what item it is. Okay? So now they say, no, bechadasha, bein l'Rabbi Ishmael, bein l'Rabbi Akiva, Misham shevada kochavim yen, u misham shevada kochavim enan asurin ad sheyavdu. There was a machlokah between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, if you remember, about the idol itself. If you set aside something to be used as an idol, then there's a machlokah between them. Is it usher immediately as soon as you designate it? Or does it have to be worshipped before it takes on the status of asur b'hana'ah? But they both agree that if it's just something that serves the purposes, it's useful, it's an accessory to the avodah kochavim, which is this knife, for example, that was used to shecht an animal, just by setting it aside certainly can't make it usher. Nobody thinks that. So we're going to have two possible answers. Ibat ema de pasape gavza lavodah kochavim. You used it not for shechting an animal. You used it for cutting wood for the mizbeach, for the avodah zarah. In that case, you've used the knife for avodah zarah, so it's got an isur b'hana'ah, but there's no bad taste in it. The eitz doesn't give any flavor. There's no fatty in it. It's not meat. It's not food. So therefore, we're not worried about that. Okay? V'ibayt ema b'yishana shelibna ba'or. Maybe you koshered it. Okay? You can kosher such a knife using libun, flame, a fire. You can burn it on a fire, and then, you know, burn it with a flame, and then it'll be kosher, but it'll still be forbidden to benefit from because it was used for avodah zarah. Okay, so that would be a knife that you did use to shecht an animal, but you koshered it. Okay, itmar, another similar machloket. Hashochet b'sakin shel avdei kochavim. Let's say you did shecht an animal with a sakin that was used for avodah zarah, and now the assumption is it has fat from, right, you didn't kosher it, and now you have some of the fat from the avodah kochavim on your knife, and you use it to shecht an animal. So now generally we talk about kashrut, that how is kashrut transferred? Okay, there's different ways kashrut is transferred. We're going to get to a bunch of musagim today. One is through heat, generally cooking. Okay. One is through what's called duchka de sakina. This comes up with onions all the time. If you talk about chopping onions and how onions, right, onions have a lot of strong flavors, so they bring out whatever flavors in the knife, even if it wasn't used in 24 hours and all those things, which we'll get into. But by the sharpness of the knife hitting the onion, that sharpness, the duchka de sakina, like the pressure of the knife, brings out flavor.
What do you mean kashrut's being transferred? The thing is becoming uncooked.
So again, right, you could transfer non-kosher something to something else. So the question here is, and then there's all different musagim about, did you mess up the entire thing? Did you mess up just the area where it was cut? And then you have to, what we call kedei klipa, you have to, klipa is the peel, so it's, you have to peel away the closest layer, and then it's not necessarily in everything else, right? When you cook something, let's say you cook milk and meat, so we assume it gets absorbed into everything. But if something comes from a knife and then you cut them with the knife, so we're going to assume only the area right nearby. It didn't permeate the entire thing. So here we're going to see, those are just a bunch of concepts. Now we'll see it inside. If you're shochet this animal with a sakin of avdei kochavim, Rav Amar Kolef, okay, you just have to peel away the area near the knife, meaning we were worried that you did get fat from the knife into the animal, but only kedei klipa, only the small area right around there. And then you can use the rest of the animal. The Rabba Bar Chana Amar Mediach. You just have to rinse it off. Okay, Rashi says with water. You just have to rinse it off with water. We're assuming if the shuman from the knife of the non-kosher animal got into this animal, whatever it is, it didn't get absorbed. All you have to do is rinse it off with water, and that's sufficient. Okay? So, Lema V'hachem Ifliya. What's the root of their machloket? Let's suggest that this is the root of their machloket. Demar savar beta shchita tzonen, umar savar beta shchita rotech. The neck area where you shech the animal, okay, first of all, the inside has heat, right? The inside of it, all our bodies is warm. Not only that, the assumption here, we'll see this later, while you're shechting it, the body heats up, right? We all react to certain things, right? As you're shechting it, it heats up, which means that as the knife goes in, there's heat inside. That is enough to cause a problem of kashrut, okay? So if you hold that it's sonein, that it's all cold, then all you have to do is rinse it off, right? If you go rent an apartment somewhere, an Airbnb, and the foods, right, the knives aren't kosher, right? So if you're cutting something cold, again, putting aside sharp items like onions and garlics and scallions and all that, you can't because no matter what. But if it's cold and you want to cut cucumbers, it's not a problem. All you have to do is make sure this is, the knife is clean, right? And if you're worried something got on it, then you wash it off. Nothing's going inside. There's no absorption happening in cold. Umar savar beta shchita rotech. The one who says it's, you have to do kedei klipa, they say it's hot in there and therefore it'll get absorbed. But it only gets absorbed. It doesn't get absorbed as much into the whole thing, only kedei klipa. So now they're going to explain, no, you could say that both hold rotech, and you could also say that both hold sone. Lo, de kule alma beta shchita rotechu. Mand amar kolef shapir. So if you say it's hot, we understand why you have to do kolef, to peel away. But mand amar mediach, how are you going to explain that? And here's another interesting concept, which we're going to see later when we get to malicha, salting. I did tri de simanim la fuke dam lo bale. The simanim where you're cutting, yes, they're hot. However, what are they doing while you shecht? They're busy spurting out blood. If they're spurting out blood, they can't also be spurting out and be absorbing. So therefore, there's no way that as they're spurting out blood, they're also absorbing fat from the knife. And therefore, we're not worried about it. And if they are, you know, it can come off by hadacha. Ikadam, right? Some people say the exact opposite. Tekul alma beit hashchita tzonein. Really, it's cold. Mand amar, I assume they mean cold, it's still warm, but not hot enough to be a kashrus problem. Mand amar mediach shapir. So obviously then we understand why you have to rinse it only. Mand amar kolef, and here we come to the duch de sakina, agav duch de sakina bala. Okay? Like I said with the onion, okay? Because you have duch de sakina, it's going to absorb. So here also you're using the force of the knife, it's because you're putting pressure there, it causes it to absorb the fat, okay? Because you're putting a lot of pressure, so the fat comes out of the knife and into the animal, and that's why you'd have to do l'klof. Okay, so we now saw three different possibilities to understand this machlok, and obviously there's no resolution about which way it goes. Now, that was all about a sakin of odazara. What if you had a sakin of trefa, meaning you have a sakin, let's say you're a shochet, and you accidentally shechted a trefa, now you have your knife, right? Everyone always calls me with these halachic questions, right? I use my knife accidentally to do this, right? So someone, shochet, accidentally uses his knife for a treifa, and now what does he do with the knife? What's the status of it? Plige baravacha veravina. Chad amar b'chamin, v'chad amar b'tzonen. One said you need to kosher it with hot, because the assumption is, again, beit hashchita is cham, and therefore it needs to be, right? Kibolo kach polto, right? The same way it gets absorbed, that's how you have to get rid of it. That's what we say in general in kashrus. So since it got absorbed in the trefa when you shechted it by heat, you have to kashrut it with heat. And chanamar b'tzonen, and one said, no, cold, because it was only cold. It wasn't hot enough to actually absorb. Therefore, all you have to do is wash it off. V'hilchata afilu b'tzonen. And the halacha is even with cold. V'ika blita de parsa lemichpere lo tzarich. And if you have a curtain, okay, like a material of a curtain, which they say is like a hardish kind of material, and it's old, okay, that's what blita baloi, okay, means
faded or worn out.
Right, faded or worn out. You can take that and you can wipe it off, and that's sufficient. Okay, you don't even need to wash it with water. As long as you take some sort of a hard, tight material, that, you know, a cloth, which you can clean it off with, that's sufficient. Ulamanda amar b'chamin. Now, if you say chamin, my taima, what's the reason? Mishum de kabbala isura, right? The whole reason is it absorbed isser. So now the Gemara asks a really interesting, or a strange question, I would say. De hetera nami bala ever minachai. If you say the area there is hot, then any time you shecht an animal, you're going to trace up your knife. Why? As you start to shecht, before you finish cutting both simanim, the animal at that point is aser mishum ever minachai. You can't cut off anything from that animal because it's like eating something from a live animal. So as soon as the knife hits the animal is actually a live animal, and it's forbidden mishum ever minachai. So the flavor of that animal should be absorbed into the knife, and should aser it mishum ever minachai. Because the heat, if you say heat carries, right, it's a very strange question, okay? Because as you start shechting, the heat of the beit hashchita, right, is going to be spit out blood from an animal that's, or, you know, fat of an animal, really, it's the fat they're worried about. The fat's going to get on the knife from an animal that's right now forbidden. In another second, when he finishes the shchita, it won't be forbidden anymore. But right now, when it heats up, it will be forbidden. So the answer is, emad bala, when does it absorb the flavor? When does it get heated up enough? L'chichayma, right? As it gets really hot, that's when, and now what's the assumption? Eimat kachayma, when does the beit hashchita, that's why I said it's true, it's got inherent heat, but the assumption is as you're shechting it, it gets even hotter. L'chigam r'shchita. In other words, the heat that we're talking about in the Beit HaShchita, it only attains that level of heat when you finish the Shchita. At that point, you finish the Shchita, and at that point, it's all Heter. So therefore, there's no problem that it's Bolea Evra Minachay. It's a bit of a strange question. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Hatabach tzarich shlosha sakinim. Achad sheshochet ba, ve'achad shemechatech ba basar, ve'achad shemechatech ba chalavim. He recommends for any tabach, he says, you need three knives. One is your shchita knife. Why do you never use that for anything else? Because you have to worry about nicks. So you don't want to use it too much. You want to save it for, right, like any kind of thing you have for special occasions. Right? You're saving it for that special occasion only for shchita. You're not going to use that for cutting other things. Then we have, you cut the meat with. Okay, that's another knife. And then you have one that you cut the chalev. The chalev is the forbidden fats. What's the issue? What are you cutting chalev for? Well, you're cutting it, first of all, to get it off the meat. And second of all, you can sell it, because it's not aser bahana, you can sell it to non-Jews. So one you use for cutting the chalev. We don't want to use the same knife for the chalev and the meat, because you might have the forbidden chalev, the fat from the chalev, on your knife when you use it to cut the meat.
It says here that Jews can also use it for...
If you remember, we actually learned this. They used it for oil, mm-hmm. right? It was one of the things that, one of the materials that probably came up in Bamei Madlikin, I'm guessing. Right, lo b'chelev, lo... Right, you can't use it for... You can't use chelev for, I think, for Shabbat, if I'm remembering Bamei Madlikin by heart. But anyway, lo b'chelev, lo b'chosem, lo b'chalach, right? So it's one of the things you can't use, but they did use it for lighting in general, just not on Shabbat. Anyway, when you generally, what would you do? You'd shech the animal, then you cut the meat, and then you cut the chalev off. So in any case, right? Why don't we just have one knife for the basar and the chalev? Obviously, your shchita knife we're not concerned with. That's going to be separate. But why don't you have one knife for the meat and the chalev? First cut the meat, then cut the chalev. When you go to your next animal, you'll wash it in between. Right? As long as you get off the chalev, we're fine. Right, because remember, there we're cutting chalev off. It's obviously cold. We're not worried about non-kosher in terms of heat. So what do they answer? No, because gzer shem yachtoch chalavim v'achar kach basar. You're a butcher. You have a lot of meat in front of you. Maybe you'll cut the chalev off of one and immediately, accidentally, use the knife for cutting the meat of the next animal. So they say, no, but even with two knives, hashtanami michlafle, you could also get mixed up, right? How many times are you in the kitchen? You have your parv knife, right? This happens to me. Parv knife, parv cutting board, and then someone takes out a meat knife for some reason, and accidentally I use the meat knife for the parv one, right? It happens, you know, on the parv cutting board, and then I turn my parv cutting board into a meat cutting board. So, hashtanami bichlafle, you could still, just because you have two knives, doesn't mean, you know, you're not going to get confused and accidentally use the basar one for the chalev. The one you use for the chalev, for the meat next from the next piece of meat. So they say, no, we're not so worried about that. Because since you need two separate knives, that's going to remind you. Which the truth is, right, in my house, it happens once in a while, but it doesn't happen all the time. Usually people are very careful because you do have a separate knife for parv and a separate knife for meat or meat and dairy or whatever it might be. But Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, another thing he said, Hatzabach, same exact thing, we're going to have the same exact sugya. They would wash the meat and wash the chalev. So you're going to have a separate bowl where you wash your meat off in and a separate bowl where you wash your chalev. Because what's going to happen? The water is going to have fat from the chalev and we don't want it to end up on your meat. Again, why don't we just have one? This is clear that they're in a world where we, you know, they don't have tons of extras, so they're trying to say maybe you can, you know, use one for both. So they say, right, why don't you do that? So they answer again like before, right? And then you first benidach bo basar v'had nidach bo chalavim, right? First we'll wash the basar off and then you rinse the chalav off and then again you'll switch the water before the next one. So what do they answer? No, gzera shami yadiach chalavim v'achar kach basar. Maybe you'll accidentally keep the water and use it again for the meat of the next animal. Hashtanami michlafule, right? Again, but even with two, you might accidentally put it in the wrong bowl. So what do they answer? Okay, since you need two, therefore you'll remember, oh, I have two bowls. I have one for this, one for that. I can't mix them. Okay, we'll stop here for today.